Jesus is holding the men of this generation, what he, you know, obviously this is, includes the people of Israel mostly, and specifically in his own hometown of Galilee, more responsible in some ways than even the Ninevites and, of course, the Queen of the South and other pagan territories. And the reason he does so is because they don't recognize Jesus by what he is doing and what he is saying. It's not a frustration on the part of Jesus. It's kind of one of Jesus's favorite techniques. He kind of floats out this warning, you know, you better open your hearts, and that is to say, open your ears as well as your hearts to what's happening around you, to who is in your presence, to the kingdom of God that's coming in your midst. Otherwise, you're going to miss the whole thing. And if you miss the whole thing, you're going to miss the opportunity, literally, to go into the kingdom. You're going to miss the opportunity to be part of the kingdom. And who wants to miss the opportunity to be part of the kingdom? Because it is the good news. It is the news of great joy. You're missing out on everything. And of course, part of the message is this need for repentance, this need to begin to listen to the Word of God ever more intensely and openly so that really Jesus can start making a difference in their lives. Because if Jesus makes a difference in their lives, then of course the kingdom is open to them. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He is the kingdom. He's bringing the kingdom of God, but he also is the kingdom of God in their presence. So of course, what does he do? How does he kind of shake them up? And as I said, this is not, you know, Jesus is not just, maybe he was a little frustrated, but this is not a real, cry of frustration on Jesus' part. What it really is he's trying to say to these people, look, you know, you've got these pagans out there. And those pagans who never had the word of Moses, never had the word of the prophets. I mean, this Ninevite king, this queen of the south, these complete pagans, they repented and they didn't even have the word of Moses or the prophets or the Torah or anything. And you've got all that. And not only that, you know, they came to hear, you know, a wisdom, you know, that, you know, Jonah and Solomon were purporting, right? Mere men, as it were. Yes, prophetic men, but mere men. And you've got something greater than Jonah here. I mean, look at what I'm doing. These miracles I'm working, these exorcisms I'm working, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Listen to what I'm saying, right? You're asking me for another sign? I've been giving these signs. Wake up. There's something here. The Messiah is coming. And of course, these people, these pagans who put, you know, their faith in the prophetic men, you have the whole word of the entire old covenant with you, and you have all the miracles I have been working. You have something much greater here. You're more responsible for a failure to repent. That is to say, to change your lives, to turn around and move toward the kingdom, to open your hearts to the kingdom. And opening our hearts to the kingdom is to open our hearts to Jesus. So he's giving them a warning. And the people in the audience, they recognize, okay, the prophet here is giving us a warning. The prophet, who seems to think he's the Messiah, and all these works may indicate he is the Messiah, he's giving us a warning. And of course, everybody in the crowd can be split into two parts. Those are going to say, boy, he's doing a lot of interesting things. Maybe I better open my ears and my heart to him. And there's a whole other part in the crowd, right? And they're going, well, who does he think he is? The Messiah or something? I mean, just because he's working a bunch of miracles here and he does seem to have an amazing rhetoric and some wisdom, why should we put our faith in him? And therein lies this difference. But Jesus is not going to let them go with indifference. He's going to challenge them, as he has challenged all of us in our lives, which is why we're sitting out in the audience, and you're sitting out in the audience, and I'm up here preaching, right? And I'm preaching to the choir. So for all intents and purposes, you heeded, as it were, this call of the Lord. And this is an integral part of Jesus's call, the warning that if we don't listen, we're going to miss out on everything. If we don't try to repent and listen to him more deeply and try to follow him, we're going to miss out on everything. The joy of the kingdom, we're missing out. We'll be blind to it. I mean, the kingdom will be right in front of us, and we'll be saying, excuse me, get out of the way so I can continue with what I'm doing in my life. And of course, this is, I'm not preaching to you, the choir, but I mean, the point is pretty clear, right? We just have to constantly have those open ears. And Jesus, of course, part of his rhetoric constantly is to tell us, don't miss out, don't miss out. Keep on listening, keep on deepening. You know, and of course, that's the whole process of the spiritual life. And of course, it's a process of the spiritual life that will ultimately lead to our fulfillment and our joy in him who alone can satisfy us. Amen.